Welcome to Money Mastery with your host, Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. Achieving financial confidence means understanding how to navigate market changes, plan for retirement, and make smart money decisions. Money Mastery is here to guide you with strategies, insights, and tools designed to help you pursue your financial goals. Now let's get started with Money Mastery with your host, Amanda.
Hello and welcome to Money Mastery. My name is Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. And while at my website, click on the radio page to check out our past shows and subscribe to our program on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. So, if you're married or if you've ever been married, there's a piece of the Social Security puzzle that often gets overlooked in retirement planning, and that's spousal benefits. So most people think of Social Security as something you earned based on your own work history, and that's true. But the rules also allow a spouse to receive benefits based on their partner's earnings records, and in some cases, that can make a big difference in what your household brings in during retirement. So today we're going to walk through how spousal benefits work, who qualifies, and how to think about building them into your retirement income strategy. Because for a lot of couples, this isn't just a rule. It can be a meaningful source of income they may not have fully factored in. So let's take a look at your Social Security decisions. For most people, they're permanent financial decisions you'll make. So there's no do-overs once you actually file. So my hope is that by the end of today's show, listeners feel informed and confident whether they're planning for themselves, for a spouse, or for both. Before we get into the details, let me bring on my co-host, Jacqueline, who always knows just how to frame these conversations.
Well, thank you, Amanda. And that point about permanence is already sitting with me. You know, Social Security is one of those topics where I think a lot of people assume they'll just figure it out when the time comes. So I'm glad that we're getting into the specifics today. Where do we even want to start?
So to kick off today's conversation, we'll be discussing a U.S. News and World Report article that comes with the headline, 2026 Guideline, How to Maximize Social Security with Spousal Benefits. Let's start with how spousal benefits actually interact with your own Social Security record, because this is where it also gets kind of nuance. And it's important to understand before you actually make those decisions. So here's how it works. If you're eligible for a retirement benefit based on your own earnings, the Social Security Administration is going to compare that amount to what you receive as a spouse. They'll pay you whichever is higher. So if your own benefit is the larger of the two, that's what you'll receive. But if your spousal benefit would be greater, that's what kicks in instead. So what does that actually mean is that your spousal benefit acts almost like the floor or a baseline that ensures a lower earning or non-working spouse still has meaningful income in retirement. So now here's the part that I really want listeners to pay attention to. Timing matters immensely. So if a spouse claims benefits before reaching full retirement age, those benefits are permanently reduced, not temporarily, but permanently. That reduction follows you for the rest of your life. So ultimately, the decision of when to file isn't just a calendar question. It's a financial strategy question, and it's one of the reasons why I always strongly encourage people not to make the call without really thinking about it thoroughly and talking it through with a financial services professional.
Well, and that word permanent is doing a lot of heavy lifting here, Amanda. You know, so just to make sure I'm understanding, if a spouse files early and takes that reduced benefit, there's no way to go back and correct it later.
That's exactly right. And it's one of those things that can really catch people off guard. So once you file, that's your benefit. The Social Security Administration doesn't offer a do-over with very limited expectations. That's an option to withdraw your application within the first 12 months of filing, but you'd have to repay every dollar you've received, which isn't realistic for most people. So for many retirees, the age at which you claim is the age that sets your benefit for life. That's why the timing conversation is so important to have while before you're ready to file.
Well, thanks for the extra detail, Amanda. So what's next then?
So let's put some real numbers into this because I think it helps making the concept a little bit more tangible. So if you wait until full retirement age to claim your spousal benefit, you're eligible for up to 50% of your spousal primary insurance amount. That's the maximum. So here's a simple example. If your spouse's benefit is $3,000 a month at full retirement age, your spousal benefit at the full retirement age would be $1,500 a month.
That's a pretty straightforward calculation, Amanda. And $1,500 a month is nothing to overlook when you're piecing together retirement income.
Exactly. And when you're building out a full household income picture, that number can really matter. Now, if either your spouse claims before full retirement age, that 50% ceiling comes down. The earlier you claim, the smaller benefit. And as we touched on before, the reduction is permanent.
So what does the landscape actually look like in terms of real dollar amounts today, Amanda?
So good question. So in 2026, the maximum Social Security retirement benefit at full retirement age is $4,152 a month. That sets the upper limit for what a spousal benefit can be based on. And after that year's cost of living adjustment of 2.8%, the average Social Security benefit for a retired married couple is $3,208 a month. So we're talking about real substantial income that is worth planning around carefully.
Absolutely. And that cost of living adjustment is a nice feature of Social Security that I don't think really gets enough attention. But let's talk about full retirement age, because I have a feeling that's a number a lot of listeners aren't truly sure about.
So it's a great point to actually flag out, because full retirement age isn't the same for everyone. It depends on the year you were born. So if you were born in 1960 or later, your full retirement age is 67. But if you were born before that, it might be slightly earlier. For example, if you were born in 1954, your full retirement age is 66. For those born between 1955 and 1959, it phases up gradually in 2 month increments. So landing somewhere between 66 and 2 months and 66 and 10 months, depending on your birth year. So the 1960 milestone marks the end of the gradual phase in that started the Social Security reform back in 1983. So those reforms signed into law by President Reagan gradually raised that full retirement age from 65 to 67. So over a multi-decade phase and period, as a way to for the account for a longer life expectancies and keep the Social Security program financially stable.
Well, and if I'm a listener right now listening to this podcast today, and I'm not sure where I land, I'd want to look that up based on my birth year.
So bingo. And one more thing worth knowing is that you don't have to claim at full retirement age. You can wait till as late as 70, and your benefit continues to grow the more you hold off. So if your health and finances allow you to do this, waiting can pay off in a meaningful way.
Well, I love that you walked through the actual numbers there, Amanda. But can anyone who is married count on that 50%, or are there other factors that come into play?
So there's actually a few additional factors that can affect the amount. Your own earnings history plays a role, as we talked about a little bit earlier. So if your own retirement payment is higher than what you'd receive as a spouse, Social Security pays your benefit instead. So the spouse benefit really only comes into play when one partner has a significantly lower or no earnings record of their own. So age is the big variable here, but claiming before your full retirement age reduces the benefit, and the reduction is calculated based on how many months earlier you filed. So the 50% figure is really the ceiling, not a guaranteed number for everybody. So the amount of any individual receives depends on their specific situation, which is why it's worth looking at your own numbers rather than assuming you'll land at the maximum.
Absolutely. Well, before we keep going with today's conversation, Amanda, please let our listeners know how they can schedule a complimentary consultation.
just give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. Scheduling a consultation only takes a few minutes, and we're always happy to work around your schedule.
Well, perfect. Thank you, Amanda. What do we have next then?
So timing is really at the heart of this whole conversation. And before anyone makes a decision about when to claim, it's worth doing the genuine cost-benefit analysis. So that means looking at your full picture and not just the benefit amount itself, but also things like earning limitations and how federal and potentially state income taxes may affect what you're actually going to take home.
Well, that's a great reminder that the number on paper isn't always the number in your pocket.
Absolutely. And one of the most important pieces of that analysis is actually understanding what claiming early actually costs you. So if you file for spouse benefits before reaching full retirement age, your benefit is permanently reduced. Waiting for full retirement age means you receive the full spousal benefit, which again is up to 50% of what your spouse is eligible for.
Well, are there any other timing considerations beyond just the age question?
There's actually a requirement that a lot of people don't know about until they're ready to file. In order to claim spousal benefit, the person you're basing that claim on must already have been receiving their own Social Security benefits. Your spouse has to have filed first.
Well, so what happens if your spouse hasn't filed yet?
So in that case, your initial benefit would actually be based on your own earning history, assuming you've accumulated the 40 credits needed to qualify for retirement benefits. Then, once your spouse does file, you have the eligibility to switch over to the spousal benefit if that's higher. So for content, if you earn credits by working and paying Social Security taxes, and in 2026, you earn one credit for every $1,890 in wages or self-employment income, up to the maximum of 4 credits per year. That way, if you look at it that way, your payment becomes a combination of those two that add up to your higher amount you qualify for.
Well, that's a helpful detail, Amanda. And I want to ask about the higher earners in the household, because I think some people worry that their spouse collecting a spousal benefit might somehow affect their own.
It doesn't. And that's a real common concern worth clearing up here. So if you're the higher earner, the spousal benefit your partner actually receives is completely separate from your own. So it has no impact on your benefit whatsoever. The two are independent of each other.
Let's just say a listener has been taking all of this in and they're thinking, okay, I want to look into this for myself. What does the actual process of claiming a spousal benefit look like?
So I think it's a pretty straightforward process, but you want to make sure you have your documentation in order before you start. You'll need to verify your eligibility, and that means providing things like your marriage certificate and both spouses' Social Security numbers.
Well, are there any eligibility requirements that might catch people off guard?
One worth knowing is that you must have been married for at least 1 year before you can claim a spousal benefit. It's not something most couples would need to worry about, but it is a requirement. Beyond that, the standard eligibility factors we've already covered apply, including your age, your spouse's filing status, and whether your own benefit is lower than your spouse benefit amount.
And once someone has their documents together, Amanda, where do they actually go to apply?
So you actually have a couple different options. You can contact the Social Security Administration directly to schedule an appointment, or you can apply online through their website. Either way, they'll review your application and make the decision on eligibility. My general advice is don't wait until the last minute to start this process. Give yourself some runway time, gather your documents ahead of time, and if you have any questions about how that benefit fits into your broader retirement plan, that's a great conversation to have with your financial professional before you actually file.
Well, we've talked a lot about the timing of when to claim, but I want to make sure that we cover something that I think catches a lot of people off guard. You know, what happens if someone claims early but is still working?
So this is such an important topic, and you're right that it actually surprises a lot of people. So if you claim Social Security before your full retirement age and you're still earning income, your benefits could be temporarily reduced based on how much you're actually earning. It's called the earnings test, and it applies a withholding threshold based on your income. It's also worth noting that the earnings test applies specifically to the wages and self-employment income. Things like investment returns, pension payments, or rental income doesn't count towards that limit.
Well, Amanda, can you walk us through what those thresholds actually look like?
So for 2026, if you're under full retirement age for the entire year, you can earn up to $24,480 without any impact on your benefit. That breaks down to $2,040 a month. If you earn more than that, $1 is withheld for every $2 you go up over that limit. So now in the year you actually turn full retirement age, the rules loosen up quite a bit. The threshold actually jumps to $65,160 for that year, which is $5,430 a month. And the withholding rate drops to $1 for every $3 over the limit. So once you hit full retirement age, there's no earning limits at all. You can earn as much as you want without any impact on your benefit.
Well, that's a pretty significant jump between those two thresholds. But I want to make sure I heard you correctly, Amanda. You said the reduction is temporary.
That's the part that's really important to understand, and I'm glad you caught that. So the withheld benefits aren't gone forever. So once you reach full retirement age, the Social Security Administration recalculates your benefit and gives you credit for the month when payments were withheld. So over time, you can get that money back through a higher monthly benefit. It's not a penalty in the permanent sense, but it does affect your cash flow in the short term, which is why it's worth factoring in when you're making that decision whether to claim earlier while you're still working.
Well, I want to shift gears for a moment and talk about something on the tax side, because there's a new development in 2026 that I think is really relevant for the people that we've been talking about today. Can you walk us through the senior bonus deduction?
So yes, and this is a welcome change for a lot of retirees. So as part of that One Big Beautiful Bill Act, the sweeping tax legislation signed into law into 2025 that made several changes affecting retirees, including the introduction of this new deduction for older Americans. There's a new $6,000 deduction available for taxpayers who are 65 and older. For single filers, that deduction is $6,000. And for married couples filing jointly, it doubles to $12,000.
Well, that's a meaningful number, Amanda. Are there income limits attached to it?
There is. So to qualify, your modified adjusted gross income needs to be at or under $75,000. And if you're a single filer, or $150,000 for a married couple. So it's actually targeted towards retirees who are in the moderate income range, which is actually a large portion of the people who rely on Social Security as their primary income source.
And how does this connect specifically to spousal benefits, Amanda?
For married couples who are leaning on spousal benefits as part of their retirement income, this is a deduction could make a real difference here. By reducing taxable income, it helps preserve more of what they're actually bringing in each and every month. So when you're working with your fixed income in retirement, every dollar matters, and a provision like this could help stretch that income even further. It's more reason why staying current on tax law changes is part of a good retirement planning, not just something to hand off to your accountant each and every year.
Well, I want to make sure that we don't leave out a group of listeners who this topic is really relevant for, Amanda, and that's people who are divorced. You know, how does any of this apply to them?
So that's a great point to raise here. And the question is that divorce doesn't necessarily take spousal benefits off the table. So if you're married for at least 10 years before divorcing, not everybody remarries. And if they are at least 62 years old or older, you may be eligible to receive up to 50% of your former spouse's Social Security benefit. And importantly, claiming that benefit has no impact on what your ex-spouse receives.
Well, there's something a lot of divorced people probably didn't realize. You know, are there any nuances to the timing of when you can claim?
So there's a couple worth knowing. So if your ex-spouse is already receiving Social Security benefits and they're at least 62, you can claim right away. So if your ex-spouse hasn't filed yet, you can still receive benefits once you reach 62, as long as you've been divorced for at least 2 years. That two-year mark is a threshold to be aware of in this situation.
What if someone's already receiving their own Social Security benefit? Can they still factor in an ex-spouse's record?
They can. So if you've already started receiving benefits and your ex-spouse record would yield a higher amount, you'd receive whichever is greater. So that same logic we discussed earlier for married couples applies here as well.
Well, and what happens if the former spouse passes away, Amanda?
So in that case, you could be eligible for the same benefits as the survivor spouse, provided the marriage was at least 10 years. So even after divorce, that 10-year threshold carries real weight. It's one of those details that can have a significant financial impact, and it's worth knowing whether it applies to your situation.
Well, what a great note to end on. Amanda, anything else?
So if you have any questions about retirement and your financial strategy, visit my website at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net or call my office at 919-342-7715. We'd love to help you build a financial strategy that has you looking ahead with more confidence and excitement.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us on another episode of Money Mastery with our host, Amanda Mangum.
Thank you for listening to Money Mastery with Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you're ready to take the next step toward a stronger financial future, contact Amanda and her team today at 919-342-7715 or visit aspiremoneymanagement.net. Be sure to tune in next week for more financial strategies and insights right here on Money Mastery.